Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
What's poppin', y'all?
Hey, we back in the building.
Listen, we are back with Shift Originated From. Back in the studios. We are home. Yes. I am excited.
Right.
To be back in the building, y'all. Yes.
We have a fireball topic today. This is 2023. We are coming with
our
brand
first
new topics.
Episode for the new year, man. First of all, we just want to wish you guys Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to
Merry
everyone.
Christmas, Kwanzaa.
And all of that.
Feliz Navidad. You know.
Lottie Dottie
and everybody, you know what I'm saying? So we just glad to be in the building, y'all. We are here. Listen, y'all, we just thank God, man, because this was a rough journey here, man. I'm just glad to be alive today. Seriously.
Yeah.
I'm really glad to be alive, man.
Me too.
I don't know what's going on in today's society, man, but you know, we had a football player that just yesterday, man.
Right.
He collapsed on the field. So definitely our prayers go to, I think his name is DeMar Hamlin from the Buffalo Bills. He had a cardiac arrest on the field. And I can contest, man, because right before Thanksgiving, I had a heart attack myself.
Right.
Probably about two or three of them for 4 days. And I didn't even know that I was having. My chest was hurting so bad.
Right.
But I'm just glad to be here. You know what I'm saying?
I'm glad you're here too.
I'm glad to be here. So listen, man, I'm here to tell the testimony. If I can make it, if God can see me through it, then we know that God can see this young man through it. 24 years old. So
absolutely,
our prayers are definitely with him.
So you want to go ahead and pray?
Yeah, so we thank you, God. We're
thank you, Lord.
So happy to be back home, God.
Thank you
for this journey, God. We thank you, God, because without you, God, it would be no us. So,
it
God,
no us.
As you given us this platform, God, to help build relationships and help build marriages, God, continue to use us, continue to bless us, God, for such a time as this, God. Our desire is to be different, but yet impactful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So welcome to Shift Real Talk TV. We are here.
With Shift Real Talk Tuesdays. Okay, so today.
We're keeping it real.
Uh-oh.
Is keeping it right.
That's right.
Keeping it real is keeping it right.
You heard it here first.
Listen, we can't do nothing but keep it funky and keep it 100.
That's right.
That's what we're going to do. Because this
is
our life.
That's what we are about to do.
Yes. So today's topic. Come on, babe. Give us today's topic,
all
man.
Right. So today's topic is, what do you do when you can't get through?
I got a disclaimer before we even get into. I just want y'all to know a lot of these topics really is our experiences.
That's right.
We don't go on some cookbook and we don't go on to YouTube and look at other people's. This is what we actually experienced.
Right.
So this is how we can be so hunted, because we telling you how we got through the conversation,
man,
that we're bringing up to you guys. So
it's like God allows us to go through it first.
Yes, he allows us to
and
go through it.
Trust me when I say it's not an easy journey.
Oh, man.
But it's necessary to bring you the material that we have for you, especially today.
Yeah, so
what do you do when you can't get through? What
Kim Scott, what's up, girl? I'm sorry to cut the family.
Oh, okay. Fire.
Yes.
It's like, what do you do? What did I do when I could not get through to him?
Yes.
Hmm.
This is so
get
great.
Get into it.
We're going to get into this, man. Kim, I want you to chime in too.
Man.
I know, Mr. Scott, sometimes it's hard to get through to us. It's hard to get through. But let me tell you what goes on. Let's just deal with the first. I think what really, there's a couple of things that we're going to deal with when it comes to trying to really with the communication breakdown. A lot of times certain situations that we're in, certain situations that we actually put ourselves in, we're not really happy with the situation. So I believe situations cause us, cause the communication to break down.
When you say we, what are you talking about? We.
Men.
Men. Okay. Men. Gotcha.
We. Me. We. Okay. We, not we.
Gotcha.
But we.
As the man species. We. Okay.
But men, yeah, a lot of times, you know, especially if you're a man that is used to providing,
right,
and you're used to doing certain things for your family, for your household, certain things happen. You know, life happens, mm-hmm, where you may not be able to do this certain situation. You know, you may not be able to be what you've normally been used to being. And that can make you feel a certain way. So okay, you walking around the house and you walking around all dismayed, all dismemberamented, and all
dismemberment.
Of that.
Dismemberment. You know, you be making up some words.
Dismemberamented. you just good, out of though, the loop, man. Right. You just really like just left field because,
right,
you're not happy with being a man.
And what does a woman, especially a wife, I like that Kim.
Thank
Kim
you.
Says, your test is now your testimony.
That's right. That's right.
So if we could back it up just a little bit, where did this topic come from?
It came from because we went through a period where we weren't listening to one another.
It was a season.
It was a season. We weren't listening. She was not hearing me and I wasn't hearing her. Because she wasn't hearing me.
I like how he came up with their rendition.
Say because she wasn't hearing me. So you ain't listening to me.
Nah.
So, you ain't listening to me.
I beg to differ. See.
You wasn't listening.
Well, I wasn't listening because you weren't in place.
I was not in the place that was she, but I was in a place.
Yes, he was in a place.
And I was in a place.
And that's
what we're talking
this,
about.
That's where this topic came from.
I was in a place. And that place was not good.
We just went through a season where a decision was made for our lives. And me as a wife, I followed that decision that was made. When the decision was made, I think at some point you realized that it wasn't the decision that you wanted to make or the decision that you felt like we should have made at that time.
Yeah. I think the decision, what it caused me to do was I'm so used to providing and doing what a man, what I believe.
Making it happen.
Men, husbands do. They make it happen for their families. Mm-hmm. They provide. They mm-hmm. they do what is necessary to make sure that the needs are met inside of the household.
Right.
So when the decision that was made to make the decision that I made, it took me away from being able to do what I needed to do for my family.
You want to tell what the decision was?
No.
We keeping it real.
Hey, listen, we're going to come back to that, but let's get back to that.
Well, a decision was made, and as a wife, I followed the decision of my husband.
Yes.
Well, in the meantime, in between time, I'm going to tell the story. I'm going to be respectful of what you just said. I'm not going to go that far.
Thank you, see?
I'm not going to go that far.
See?
I listen.
See what happens when you don't get through?
You got through.
Okay.
So anyway, basically, my husband went into survival mode because in his head, he felt like I have to make this happen. I got to make this right. This was my decision. I put my wife in this particular situation and I got to make it right. So his eyes became more frequent because survival mode, the most prevalent letter in the survival is I.
Mm-hmm.
So he was in survival mode and he left. This is my rendition. He kind of left me out. So.
No, I didn't leave you out. I didn't leave you out.
What do you mean?
I did to see to your.
I said my rendition.
Okay. See.
Okay.
And then this is another reason why. See, but I'm glad you're saying that because here's another of what happens when you can't get through because ideas are, and I heard Miles Monroe said, I'm not going to take credit for it. Miles Monroe said this, ideas are thoughts. The vocabulary police here.
Yes.
Ideas are thoughts and perspectives. Mm-hmm. And when you have a perspective of something, and I have a perspective of something, if those perspectives, they don't line up with one another, then there's a disconnect in the idea of thought.
That's right.
And you cannot get through. You can't get through. And it could come from a cultural background. It could come from, you know what I'm saying, certain culture.
It could. But see, but going back to what I said, though, I, in my rendition, this is what I as a wife felt.
Mm-hmm.
When you started trying to fix what you felt like was not right anymore, you kept saying, I'm doing this because I have to provide for my family, which is at this time me. Well, I understand your underlying motive was you was doing it for me. But in the midst of doing something for me, you was leaving me out as far as the consideration, as far as when we had a conversation about it. If you felt like in the midst of the whole thing, after we made a decision about what we were going to do, then you went and did a decision and you made that decision what it was.
What's up, Lisa?
Hey, Lisa. So basically, felt that although I had to understand that you were doing.
What's up, cuzzo? Tawan.
Hey, what's up?
Happy New Year, cuzzo.
Although you felt like you was doing it for us, I felt left out because the us became a I.
Let me go back because again, here's the culture thing going back. I got to go back to the culture.
Okay, go back.
See, I guess believe how she was raised, there was a level of communication that went on when it came to what was going on. Okay, so she had to have the step-by-step.
No, because let me finish. Hold on. There's a step-by-step. Understanding what's going on.
There's a step-by-step understanding that goes with, see, for me, for my family, how I was raised. Listen, you go out there, you provide, you get the same thing, you do what you need to do, you take care of your family. You know what I'm saying? This is how I was taught.
Right.
This is how I was raised.
Understood.
You do what you got to do to take care of your family.
Right.
And that's what I had. I went into, if I'm not taking care of my family, who was supposed to do it?
I mean, I understand, but go ahead.
If I'm not taking care of my family, then there's a space that I'm in at the point where it's like I feel less of myself because I'm not in.
Bingo. You felt less of yourself.
Yes.
Now, I know you, not just as my husband, but as my friend. And I appreciate the realness.
Okay, okay.
We do. We appreciate the realness. However, when you said I felt less of myself, usually, I can't speak for all men, but when you get in a moment where you feel less of yourself, you go inside of yourself. And when you go inside, you don't bring me with you. So what I had to do, you had something to say?
Yeah, because
okay,
here's what happens again. Now this is why I was going back to the ideas,
okay,
and the perspectives,
right?
And that was the reason. Thank you. Now you bring me back to the reason why I was going
You're
to
welcome.
The idea because here's the miscommunication in the perspective of ideas.
Okay,
if I have an idea in my head and you have an idea in your head and those perspectives don't line up, then there is a miscommunication. The thing is, I have an idea and my idea comes from the thought that I had. So my thought is, okay, listen, this is what I need to do.
Right.
Your thought and your perspective is, no, you don't need to do it this way. Or that even if there's some type of little rebuttal against the thought that I have in my head,
right,
then there's a not me getting through to you. So then there's a kind of breakdown in the communication.
So the topic today is, what do you do when you can't get through?
When you can't get through.
So Jesse and I, just to recap, we went through a season just now, and thank God that we did come out, and I actually feel like we're closer since that moment, and because we made it through a rough season. But he made a decision. The decision included me. I felt like that once the decision was made, once he realized that the decision was not the right decision to make, he went into, I gotta fix this. I gotta fix this. I messed up. I gotta fix this. And when he went into, I gotta fix this, he went into survival mode. He went into the mode of, I have to do whatever I have to do. In the meantime, in between time, you're right. My perspective was, when we discuss something, which was what we would normally do, we, in the end, after the decision by you, after we discuss it was made, okay, babe, I get what you're saying. Okay, so this is what I think we should do. And more than likely, I would say, you know what? Okay, because I understand, and I was raised like this. The man of the house is the head of the house. Okay, so you make the decision, but you considered me and you considered what I thought about it, and we worked it through together to come to the point where you said, okay, I understand that this you might want to do it this way, but I think we should probably go this way. Good, we got that. So what had started to happen was you started to say, okay, what you think we should do. We come to a point of, okay, this is what we should do. And then next thing you know, I'm like, okay, babe, so we going this way. And you like, nah, I decided we're going to go this way.
Kim said, women want to feel that sense of security. And when you leave us out,
when you leave us out,
we don't feel that.
We don't feel secure.
But even going before that, some real men feel when they're not providing that sense of security, because that's what I was feeling. I was feeling that I wasn't providing that sense of security. So I had to do what it took to make sure that I provided that security. But the thing was, because it wasn't, I don't know where the breakdown was. I don't know where the breakdown was.
Security for you meant one thing, and security for me.
Security meant for me to get back to the place where I was. Right. So that I could be in the place where I was providing that sense of
doing crime and sinning.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Like I wouldn't. Yeah, I wouldn't. You know, I don't sell no drugs or nothing like
so
that.
So basically, your thought security was getting my wife back into the place we were in and getting the vehicle and making sure we have things that we need to live. My security was I felt like I was kind of like out there alone because the man that's supposed to cover me is now considering everything else but me. Like, I did not feel secure in our relationship. Because once a woman gives her life to you, you're responsible not just to provide a house and a car and stuff. You also responsible for making sure that the life that she has given to you, because I'm that chick, I say I do. And that means that I'm looking to you to, and you want to make those decisions and be the man and the head of my house. And I give you that. So I gave up making most of the decisions for myself, doing whatever I want to do, whenever I want to do it, and how I wanted to do it to follow your lead. So I felt like you were leading me, but then you was like this. And I'm like, oh, snap, hold on, wait. Okay, wait. Shoot, he was, okay, baby, where you at? Okay, I'm over here now. And I'm running to get to where you at. And by the time I get there, you like, nah, I'm over there now. And I'm like, dog, where you at? So that's how I felt. So I didn't feel secure, even though I understood that what you were doing was you was trying to figure out how to make us secure again.
Let me ask y'all a question. If a pastor, right, just and this is no slight against, this is a disclaimer that I really don't have to make, but it's cool. I'm going to do it anyway. But the point is, if there's a pastor, right?
Okay.
And he has a church building.
Right.
And the church building, it has leaks. It has all of this stuff going on. It's a financial burden on the church. He has to take an offering every other day, and it's making looking like this building is no good for the pastor. So the pastor talking to God, supposedly he's supposed to talk to God, and he's making the decision. Okay, let's move to because he sees what this building is doing for the church. They're spending more money. They're losing money for stuff to continuously broken. Can't pay the musicians. Can't do this. Musicians not showing up because whatever the case is. There's a whole lot of stuff going on with this church. So he makes a decision. Mm-hmm. Let's now go. Because I've been looking at this building over here on the east side. And it's a little smaller, but it's conducive to what we need to do for ministry.
Okay.
So now he makes the decision. Okay, church. He gets up one Sunday and he says, church, I believe that we need to go to this church over here.
Right.
Is there a breakdown in the communication? Because now he sees that this church, as the pastor of this church,
right.
Is there a breakdown in the communication? Because he says, I see what this building that we're in presently is doing to the members of the church. Mm-hmm. The heat ain't working. The air conditioning ain't working.
We got it, right.
You know, there's a lot of stuff that's not going on. The pastor don't even feel like he
and
can leave.
And he made a decision.
He made a decision to go over here. Is there a disconnect at that point?
At that point, I'm glad you said that. There is not a disconnect at
that
point.
Tell me why. because he's making a decision that's best for.
The decision was made and the decision was communicated, so everybody knew that when they got up that next Sunday, they was all going to be over there. However, if that pastor says in the middle of the week, that if that pastor says, okay, I'm going to go check the place out, and then he finds that, okay, legitimately so, dog, this building is not what I thought. So I'm finna go over here and check this building out. He goes over there by Thursday, check that building out, and realize, you know what, this is the building, right? And then he comes the next Sunday and while he's in that building and says to everybody who he did possibly reach out to, that, all right, y'all, or Facebook. He got on Facebook, social media, put a little group out there. We gonna meet over here. But everybody didn't get it because some people wasn't on that week or whatever. So the communication breakdown was the fact that it was that one person, probably me, who didn't get the communication. Because at the last minute, there was a decision to go over here when I had already heard from the pulpit, we going over here. And I made that my place to go. And then I wasn't thinking that there was going to be a change. So I wasn't directly communicated to. There was no communication. The breakdown was you didn't communicate properly to make sure everybody was in place like you did when you initially got up in the pulpit.
See, that's what goes on in the congregation sometimes. Some people in the congregation, they just don't listen to the pastor.
They don't get the Facebook posts because they probably got off social media.
They be doing everything else but listening to the pastor.
So what do you
because
do?
Because they're going through their own little situation. Because that's what happens to some of the members. They're going through some things. They're going through some things personally themselves.
Okay, so what happens? Now, this is
that's what happens. I'm telling you what happened.
No, you didn't hear me to the period. So what I was going to say was what happens when you, what do you do when you can't get through? So you felt like you couldn't get through to me in this season. What did you do to get through?
Well, first of all, I believe communication is key. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, a lot of times, communicating through words only is just not enough. You got to communicate with your actions. You got to communicate with your responses. You got to communicate with your listening. So even though if you feel like the breakdown may happen because a lot of times, like I said, this goes back to the culture thing that I was saying. A lot of times we've been raised in two different backgrounds. We've been raised in two different cultures. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you may hear me say something that I'm not saying. Mm-hmm. You may hear me say something that you may think of what I'm saying, that you, and you know, you put in your head that this is what I meant by when I said this. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times you walk away with a misunderstanding, mm-hmm. or you walk away with not really being fully aware or fully understanding of what the conversation was, what the direction was, or, you know what I'm saying, or what the vision is.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because I believe that if the vision is really understood, then everything else that's communicated can be more easier. But the whole point is you can't walk away with a misunderstanding, because what that does now is it grows other ideas in your head. It grows other thoughts in your head.
It does.
It grows other things that goes to now you go into a whole nother other influences. Because now because trust me, social media is not just a form, a platform, but it's an information tool.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It has information coming from other influences.
Right. So basically, I mean, and I understand what you're saying. When I think back, realistically, just keeping it funky, keeping it straight up 100, this is what I had to do. Because when a woman doesn't feel secure, regardless of whether that man believes that he is communicating correctly,
mm-hmm.
or whether he thinks that this is something that he's doing right and she just can't see it or whatever the case, when a woman feels like she's not being considered, or when she feels like that she's alone in this thing, that she's no longer covered, that she begins to cover herself. When a woman feels like that she does not have the support that she needs at the time that she's going through as well, you know, then what she does is she starts.
Now, what does that look like? I want to go back to what you said, because that just kind of really stuck out with me. What does that look like?
What?
A woman covering themselves. What does that look like?
It really is not. It doesn't really have a look. It's something you make up because it's not supposed to be. What I did was I started, and this is just
because no matter what, I still believe that a woman, even if there's not a man there in place to be covering, she still has a covering. So right, she can't cover herself.
That's true in a perfect world, but we still dealing with flesh. I have emotions. Women have emotions. You have emotions.
That's the problem.
That may be the problem what we're talking about realistically, right?
That's realistically the problem.
Right. So it may be the problem, but the thing is, when I started feeling like I was almost like I was in this by myself, I got to figure some things out by myself, because you were really busy trying to figure that out. And that was you was tunnel vision over here. So what I did, I went through a series of emotions, some of which I couldn't share and I couldn't show you at the time because you were busy, and I understood that you was trying to figure this out over here. So to be considerate of that and not bring all of my stuff into play, then I had to keep some of that stuff to myself. And that's where God came in, because I was upset. I started saying to myself stuff like, you know what? Okay, cool. If that's how he gonna do it, if he gonna be acting like that, I'm almost like a none factor. And you know, sometimes we do over exaggerate, you know, because when we're in our emotions and our feelings, that happens. So that's what I went through. So then this is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna figure out what I need to do for me. I'm going to start doing XYZ to make sure that I'm good, just in case, you know, he go off over here and he's so busy over here that he forget about me. So what I started doing was I started in my head coming up with ideas that will help build me and be there and make it like I got to be there for me. But God never asked me to do that. Mm-hmm. So I struggled with that. And then I remember a time that I had to walk the community, like the walk around the complex, because that's why how I used to get my exercise. And I used to talk to God. I used to be like, I need your help, because I couldn't talk to my friends. I did try. I had two people I could talk to. And that only made me feel how they felt about the situation.
There go that influence.
That's that influence. But
being honest with you, like, just being funky with you, and I'm using the example, it's like I got with the deacons of the church. The deacons of the church had...
This the example?
Yeah, this the example.
Okay, you just talk straight up?
Listen, there was a plan that I needed concrete support from,
right,
that I felt that I was not going to get from you.
From me, okay.
Because
and you probably wouldn't have the way I was feeling.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah, I wasn't going to get that. So
right,
in that emotional state or whatever that state was, there was lacking of what I needed. So I had to stay focused to make sure that everything was going to fall into place the way that I needed to fall back.
Which is so interesting.
So you was going through your thing over here, but you don't even understand what I was going through, because it was like,
right,
it's like, okay, how do I make this happen when I know that the help that I need coming from you, it may not be here for this point in time. So I can't sit here and say and figure it out from you coming with your
perspective,
emotions,
way of thinking
when I needed help.
You needed, and that's interesting. I appreciate you saying that, because at the time I felt like you did need help, but you did not say, "Bae, I need help with this." Even if I was not able to help you in the way that you needed, as far as like going to work where you was going to work and doing this and all that stuff, doing the physical things you were doing to provide, my help would have been, "Babe, I'm struggling in this area. I'm trying to decide this." I mean, I'm not necessarily asking you for your opinion about it, because I got to figure this out, but pray, because I know that's what you do. You know, when you got my back like that, I don't feel like that there was a time, and this is learning. We learned this is what we went through. I didn't feel like that there was a time where I was given an opportunity to be a wife, a helper, to be that prayer warrior, to be that chick that's going to come and say, "Okay, double, you lying. You ain't finna get my husband." God had to actually share with me he going through spiritual warfare. Y'all got more work to do. The devil is a liar. He's going to come against you guys. That is true. He's going to come against your marriage. He's going to come against your ministry. He's going to come against all of that. And you have to know that you got to be strong for him. And what I did at that point was I felt like I was telling you, I felt it was a door that was up between us. The devil meant it for bad, but God used that door to walk me straight through. When I opened that, when I was behind that door, that area became my war room. That became my prayer room. And so what did I do after that? I used my weapons. I prayed.
You had a door and I had an airplane.
What does that mean?
I had to go fly over across the...
Right. And that's exactly how it felt. He's saying it.
Yeah.
He was flying over here and I was behind this door.
I was flying because, look, I had to...
Because...
I had to make it happen.
And
it's like, you know, and it's, that's what I said. I got with the deacons of the church. The deacons, they had, look, we're going to put this together. We're going to put this money behind with this, and we're going to go get this church. That is what I needed at the time. So it was like, okay, listen, congregation, I'm not demoting you to the congregation.
But you can have a first lady. And that first lady, you can have a first lady. And that first lady, you could say, Bae, look, this is what's going on. Me and the deacons. No,
I did.
No, you didn't communicate that well, baby. I'm sorry. I can't let you do that. You didn't communicate that well. When a man is in survival mode, and if a man does not feel good about himself, he does not communicate as well as he thinks he does. And that's okay, because you're entitled to be imperfect.
But I remember those times now because I've grown from this. I do remember those times, especially in survival mode, where I made some decisions that cost me some peace.
Oh, it cost you some peace.
It cost me a lot of it.
Right.
Because I was making decisions out of survival mode. I was making decisions to be with people that could help me in my survival.
Yeah, I remember those days.
That could help me in my survival. Right. So here is the transition now. Now I'm not making those decisions to be around people, females, that could help me in my survival mode. Mm-hmm. Because that, you know, those decisions I make, I really had to depend on God. So
right.
So my thing was, it was like, and especially in that moment of deciding or doing what I needed to do. It was like that level of mental. I don't really talk against like a mental breakdown or just mental stuff like that. But I just do know that there's a period where you really got to just trust what you believe.
You have to, yeah.
Trust what you know. And the only thing that I knew is that I couldn't do it alone. That's what I knew. So I had to trust. That I made it out of it when I was making the bad decisions. I made it out of it when I was doing things to feed the survival. And it was the wrong decisions that I was making, and I made it out of that. So one thing I did know is that in that time, I was able to make it out of it and actually learn the lessons going through that. So now coming here to happen to now make this decision, and I can't make the decisions that I used to make when I was out there like that.
Right.
I got to really be strategic and smart, and I got to really be close to the man who has the plan.
The man with the master plan.
I
got
to be close to that. I just have to be. So,
right.
So with that being said, it was like now I'm in a situation where I can't turn this way. I can't turn that way. I could only look a certain way. So it was like, and looking in that way, I don't know why men just expect women to understand, look, if you see me trying to look this way, then you should automatically know to pray. You should automatically know. But again, I believe with me just being in that place, it kind of put everything out of place because normally you usually
pick up on
things.
Because I couldn't find you.
I wouldn't hard to find.
Yeah, you were. But the thing is, it's like, and I get it because I understand that men feel like women should automatically know to do this, that, and the third.
You feel that? Like,
okay, to the period, because you done cut me off a couple of times already. I let it slide now. Come on, people. I let it slide, boo. You even now playing. But anyway, the thing is, Hold on 1 second. We got to come in. Trust in the Lord and lean not to your own understanding. Men, yes. Women as well. You understood that I should have known to do this and that. But in the midst of having this best friend, like we talk about everything, we go through everything together to a point of this, the togetherness being almost instantaneously ripped apart, and you go here and I'm still here trying to figure out what happened. In the moment of the transition, women, we do get in our flesh. Some show it differently than others. I think I did very well because I still made sure I had respect for you, and I still made sure that I didn't bring you. Now, every now and again, you know, we had our little conversations, but it was no knockdown, drag out, no cussing each other out, no none of that stuff. We went through what I feel like people go through when they're going through tough times. But the thing about it is, in all of that, you can't just assume that, well, she gonna know what to do. Because in the midst of it, especially a new season like that, I didn't know what to do. And I feel like it's okay because I've never been a wife before. I have to pray every day and ask God how to do this so that I could please him in doing it, so I can make sure we good.
Do you hear all these run-on sentences? Because it's a long period.
Oh, I did say to the period.
To the period.
It's period.
That's a whole paragraph.
Okay, but you listened well. Thank you, baby.
Quotation marks or something.
You listened well.
Okay, so let me keep it 100 here.
Please.
Let me keep it funky. Like I said, going back to what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
This table, before this table was a table, it was a thought.
Right.
These headphones, before they were headphones, they were a thought.
Come on.
So I say that to say this. If you know the vision, because most of the time, well, I mean, not most of the time, but coming into this new place of where I was, the vision for us was ministry. The vision for us was, you know, you knew the vision. Mm-hmm. And the thought in my head to get to what the vision was different from your thought that now you have in your head of how we should get there as well. Because a lot of the pullback and a lot of the getting through was your thought and my thought.
Mm-hmm.
You had your thought and I had my thought.
Right.
So those thoughts, your thought and my thought were on two different perspectives.
Why?
Because you had
there your... Let's be honest, because the communication... Okay, so if I'm not mistaken, and somebody can chime in and let me know if you remember this, that Pastor Jay has said on several occasions that a woman incubates what a man gives to her. If you give her a seed, she's going to produce a baby. If you give her groceries, she's going to produce meals for at least a week. If you give her hell, she's going to produce, and she shouldn't, but, you know. So my thing
is... What happens if the woman's tubes are tied? Okay, all right. All right. All right, all right, all right, all right.
Okay. Have we rewinded it? Can we get
all right, 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 a little humor.
Please.
A little humor.
All right. Okay, so at the end of the day, what I did realize, I mean, we went through, so we letting y'all know everything we went through. We just being transparent. But at the end of the day, what happened was, it wasn't until Jesse came to me and truly opened up to how he felt. And where he was feeling kind of short on some things. And he sat down with me and had a simple conversation. It's the little things. And that conversation.
Wait a minute. Be honest now. Because even in the midst of that, be honest now. Seriously now.
I'm listening.
You changed your whole attitude when I told you that I understand how you feel.
In the conversation. Right. I'm glad you brought that up.
Because we always have conversations.
And the fact that you understood how I felt made me say, okay, you know, he is considerate of the fact that I'm going through too. Like, although you made this decision and you didn't feel like it was a good, it was almost like a little kid who make a mistake and try to run and fix it before the parent come home and make it worse. It was like you were trying everything you could, and it was like you was over here trying to figure it out. And while you were trying to figure it out, you weren't really coming to me saying, "Babe, I know that this is a tough time." It was none of that I would normally get when there was a situation going on with us, because this was a new season for us. Mm-hmm. And I have to acknowledge that. I can't expect us, either one of us, to be perfectly great in communication and everything when we're going through something brand new in our lives. So what do you do when you can't get through? There's a time and a place for everything. Time presented itself where I was able to hear you when you said to me, "You understand." And I was then, it's almost like you opened, I became open to the fact of, you know what? I got your back. And I'm going to make sure that whatever decision you make, I'm going to ride with you. I was willing to ride with you anyway. But I felt like that you kind of told me to get off the bike, and because you got to ride and figure some things out first, and you come back and get me.
Because you wasn't pedaling.
I would have leaned and turned.
Do you understand?
Anybody that knows me knows I would have leaned. Like, if you would have went this way, I would have leaned in the turn. And if you would have went this way, I would have did my best. But when a woman feels like at the time she don't know if she could trust the leading and everything, she will kind of say, "Well, hold up, shouldn't we be leaning that way? Because that's what you said." And then, you know, so I struggle with that a little bit.
That's why, you know, if you really look at that scripture that says being unequally yoked, mm-hmm. and a lot of times we equate it to us not having the same
spiritual partner.
We equate it to the spiritual aspect, mm-hmm. but unequally yoked really just means, I believe, meaning like in direction, because back in those days, the two oxen, if you had a horse and an oxen,
a donkey,
and a donkey pulling the you know, the plows, you know, you have the size was different. So it was kind of hard to pull it at the same pace and at the same speed, because you have one that may slow down and stop. You got one that may be stronger than one another, and then he pulling it more and you pull. So I believe it has a lot to do with your perspective and the way that you move to the belief. The way you get there. So
it does.
So at that point, I believe, you know, just understanding that there are times in relationships where we are pulling in different directions. And we're pulling in dudes, and it causes us to be unequally yoked.
But the good thing about it is, when you know that you, like, the whole thing is, before the decision was even made, I remember God coming in my thoughts and I heard this statement, "Do you trust me?" When we felt like we kind of didn't know what to do. And I said, "Yeah, I trust you," because in my own thoughts, I felt like that meant God was going to work everything out the way I, in my head, envisioned it was going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
So when things didn't go according to what I thought that it would go, especially because I had been praying about this and I got faith. Then all of a sudden, when things start going kind of different and they start looking funny, I gave some pushback. But then I remember, probably like 2 months in, I remember hearing the same thought: "Do you trust me?"
Yes.
"Do you trust that this is all a part of the plan, that after everything is said and done, when y'all come out of this season that y'all in right now, there will be springtime, there will be some little plants budding up again, and it will be some beauty in the ashes and all of that stuff again? Do you trust the plan?" Because if you don't trust the plan, because my thing was, I just trusted his words. I just trusted what I felt like that he was going to do, instead of trusting that God had a plan for his thought, for the decision he made for us, for how we, and it was some things that we didn't even know we had to deal with. And that's the beauty of how God plan work. He said he take the foolish things that's foolish to real wise people that think they know it all. He take the foolish things and he stomp those people. He be like, "Yeah, okay, you thought that's what mm-hmm. was going to happen." And that's what happened with me. I thought it was going to look a certain way. And I had that concrete. I had a whole thing. It was a whole beautiful book in my head. The saga was beautiful.
But it didn't work out like that. And when it started crashing, then I start feeling some kind of way. And then I start feeling some kind of way towards you, not realizing that everything we went through was going to, in the end, make you stronger and better and make me stronger and better.
Listen, y'all, we thank you guys for supporting us over the year. This year, we're going to be doing some things different. Next week episode, we got a special guest that we're going to invite onto the show. And the topic next week is awesome, man. You can love again. Yeah. Some of us have fallen out of love with our spouses, with our friends, with our, in certain relationships that we were in for years. And it looked like that relationship was not going to, was just completely over. But I'm here to tell you, next week's guest is going to really, this is a treat, y'all. My God. We've been inviting my brother for years, man. He's a bishop, a real prominent bishop in the state of New York. He has a rap album out. He's an awesome, awesome guy, man.
He's an awesome artist.
Awesome artist, man. Robert Butler, Bishop Robert Butler, he's coming on.
And
his story is going to bless a lot of us, man. It's going to bless me. It blessed me just listening to talk. And I was like, you know, we kind of want to bring on some people that's going to really help tell the story. So for this month, man, we got some special guests coming up, man. The show after that, man, we got Jules Bartholomew that's going to come on. Prominent songwriter for Hezekiah Walker.
Right.
He has an awesome group out, Judah Camp. They got some heat. We're going to talk about the church. And then I got my brother, Barry Austin. He's a he's in movies. He has a book out, The Choir Boy. His story, oh, my God, y'all. When I tell you.
Fireball.
These are our guest speakers.
We're going to have them come on the show. And if you know anybody, especially for next week.
If you know anybody that has a broken marriage.
Right.
Or broken situation, man. Please invite them to watch this next week's show, man. I promise you, you are going to be blessed.
You're going to be, I mean, you're going to think about some things differently within your own marriage, good or bad. It doesn't even matter. When I heard this man tell his story, like the way he told his story about his journey, and I saw some of it for myself, to hear him, man, I wanted to make some phone calls and say, y'all listen to this.
Yes.
Y'all got to listen to this dude. Week, you got to hear what he's saying.
I promise you.
It was amazing.
We're going to remind you guys consistently this week about next week's show. We really want you guys to tune in.
Right.
I'm telling you.
You got you to do it. You will
be blessed.
Yes, you will.
You will be. I promise you.
You will not leave this show next week.
Not being back in love.
Same.
Yeah.
Again.
Oh, you're going to. If that marriage is broken, I promise you, you're going to want to go back after next week's show.
You're going to
want to go back. I promise you that. I'm going to tell you this, and we got to go because our time is coming. I'm going to tell you this, cause I even want to interview Jamal Bryant. I do. And I'm putting a disclaimer out there. I hope he watches this on YouTube. I want to interview Jamal Bryant because I really want to talk to him about that episode that he was on that show when he was talking about cannabis. And I really want to talk. I want to really talk to him. And I really want to, so my prayer is that one day that we can invite him on shift, and we can have a conversation. Because I really want to dig into his idea about this cannabis. Because we already know that the scripture says it takes the foolish things to confound the wise. Confound the wise.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he that winneth souls is wise. But I want to understand the method that, you know, would God allow us? Because, again, we do know that cannabis is something, it's an illegal substance in most states. So I really want to kind of get, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to go, because I really want that. I really want this. So y'all just pray that this happens. And go ahead, babe. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to take over. But
no, you good, baby. This
but
your
I
show.
Really want to talk to this preacher in Atlanta, Georgia. I want to talk to him. If it's a phone call and you call in the
you
show.
You know what? If it does reach him that he can come on the show at some point, it would be really awesome for y'all to do Man Talking to Man Cave.
Yeah, I want
to
talk to him. I really do. I really want to get his
show.
I want to dig why, you know, I mean, because again, like I said, this is an illegal substance. So why would God use something illegal? Because again, I don't believe God needs help. Because if we are really preaching the word of God and doing what we need to do when it comes to the word of God, that does you saying I'm going to help God do what he already said he's going to do.
He said I'll draw.
Yeah, if you lift him up, he said he'll draw all men.
If we lift him, he'll draw them to us. No, listen, let me tell y'all something that I just realized. You on fire. I'm talking about when you, ever since you had that heart attack, you have been really serious about making sure that God is represented in the way that he asks of us from the word of God. And I appreciate that about you. Sometimes, you know, I be like, oh, but you know what? When God says your time is up, I want you to have everything that he has spoken of you, regardless of whether people thank like you, it man. Or not. I want it to come forth.
Thank you,
and
man.
I'll follow that.
Thank you, babe. But yeah, and we got to go, y'all. But we never know why God does certain things.
Mm-hmm.
But really, he has to get the glory. Because I remember even in this world,
yeah,
you know, we took prayer out of schools. There's a lot of things that we did that X God out of a lot of things, but this tragic thing that happened yesterday, I even heard the announcers on TV talking about we are praying. I heard everybody.
God,
I heard Skip Bayless.
My brother.
I'm praying. Prayer was the thing, and it's like it's so crazy because I don't want and trust me, this is not me saying them because I'm praying. I really know that God can pull him through.
Oh,
but the point is now it's like now the world who has casted God away is now coming to God to help spare this young man's life.
And the amazing thing about God is he says, if you turn back to me,
I will be there
for you, period, point blank.
But the
no
point
ifs,
is, yeah.
ands, and buts
and
about
the point
it.
Is, again, God does things so that he can get the glory.
Yeah.
Because when he does pull this young man out of this, when he does do it, God's going to get the glory.
Absolutely.
And I pray from this situation that there are so many people to understand that it without God.
Without him.
Without God, we're just filthy rags.
And if we realize, baby, and that should have been the period right there, but I just want to say this. This is like the PS. When we realize that the very first thing that people did was get on their knees, start praying and crying out to God, that's who we are. That's our nature. That's our nature before we think about anything that we were taught.
Mm-hmm.
Our nature is to get on our knees and cry out to God. So if we look at it like that, y'all, we have to do better because it's who we are. We can't run from it. We'll run right back into it.
Yes.
Well, this is your girl, Lady Free.
And I'm your boy, Pastor Jay. We're back and full of
Shift effect. Real Talk TV.
Yeah, we'll be hearing from us. I
with
promise
Shift
you
Real Talk Tuesdays. Y'all listen, share. Even if you don't like it, share. So maybe you could talk about it with somebody that and y'all could talk about
we're
it.
We're not going to say that. No.
But I'm saying that for a reason. Because sometimes we only want people, if you like it, share. But sometimes if you don't like it, it's good to share too, because you could share it with somebody that'll be able to help that, you know, you probably would not
want,
have shared with it
I
if
have
only
a,
you like
I
it.
I want you guys to please subscribe to our YouTube channel. Help us out, y'all. Subscribe to this channel. We're trying to get to at least 10,000 followers. So we need your help. Subscribe to our channel. Subscribe to Shift Real Talk YouTube.
Shift Real Talk.
Shift Real Talk YouTube. And if you want to leave, if you want to help us continue doing things even bigger, man, you can Cash App, which is Shift Movement, the $Shift Movement.
$Shift Movement.
And but we thank you guys, man.
We love you.
Trust me.
We thank you for all of the support. And look, we're going to keep moving. We're going to keep moving.
I promise you that.
We're going to do it with you.
Be back home, y'all.
Shift
Real
Talk Tuesdays. Let's pray.
Shift Real Talk TV. Shift Real Talk TV. Yo.
That's not a T, babe. It's okay. Let's pray.
TV. Lord, we thank you, God. Right now, God, we ask you to go into Cincinnati's hospital, God, where Damar Hamlin, God, he is in critical condition right now, God. And we asking you right now, God, to go in that hospital, God. Have your way, God, while he's in critical condition, God. You are in control.
Yes.
Yes. God, we know that you are a healer. And by his stripes, God, he is healed. By your stripes, by God, your he stripes. Is healed.
That's right.
He's healed, God. So we're claiming healing right now,
thank
God.
Thank you, Lord.
Because, God, we have the power to speak things as though they are. So, God, we're thanking you right now, God. We yes, honor you Lord. Right now, God. We're asking you to, we thank you for how you healed my body, God.
In the name of Jesus.
How you healed me from a heart attack, God. And we're thanking you right now, God, that I'm standing here today, God,
yes.
as a living witness, God, that you are above all, God. Above all else, God, there's nothing else that you, there are nothing or no one that could do what you can do, God.
That's right.
And only you could have done what you've done in my life, God. So we're thanking you for Shift. We're thanking you for everybody who's married, God. We're asking you, God, to look on all marriages across the world, all relationships, God, that desire to be married, God. Oh, God, let them know that they that without you being the glue, God, that they don't have a union, God, without you. And let us understand, mm. even as marriages, God, that this is a covenant agreement between you and this couple, God. So, God, and the only one that can break a covenant agreement is you, God. So we're thanking you right now, God, that we bind divorce right now.
In the name
we
of Jesus.
We bind division right now, God.
In the name
we
of Jesus.
We bind sitting in the house and still being separate, God. We bind, God, false communication, God, in lack of communication. We bind that up right now.
Right now
in the name of Jesus, we pray, God.
It
is your son Jesus' name, we pray, God. Amen.
Amen.
I'm sorry, y'all. I'm never this long in prayer, but
listen, it's what? You're sorry about praying long?
I'm sorry, y'all.
Anyway, so listen. Once again, this is your girl, Lady Free.
And I'm your boy, Pastor Jay.
Signing out. We love you.
TV.
Thanks for watching.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.